Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week, head coach Jack Mosley from the Cleveland Rift joins us to explain what exactly is quad ball. Craig Thompson, the owner of HFP Racing, gets us ready for this weekend's Great Buckeye Challenge. And Ohio native and Phoenix Suns shooting guard Luke Kennard and his dad talk about their elite basketball camp in Miamisburg beginning this Friday. All that plus our lockdown contributors have news on all the balls up next on the Ohio News Network. A fast-paced mixed-gender sport with ties to a famous movie franchise is making tracks with Ohio sports fans. Jack Mosley is the head coach of the Cleveland Rift, a Major League quad ball franchise based in Cleveland, and he joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Welcome, Jack.
Hi, happy to be here.
We're glad to have you, but we got to ask the question for those who don't know. What exactly is quad ball?
So quad ball is, it's a really interesting sport, sort of a mix of basketball, rugby, and dodgeball, and you play it on a broom, like in the movies.
So what is the difference between what fans saw in the Harry Potter movie franchise and what actually happens on the field?
The biggest thing is we can't fly. That's always the first thing people ask. So we can't fly. So, and instead of broomsticks, it's just it's sort of like a PVC pipe with ends capped on it. So, like in basketball, you have to dribble. In soccer, you have to only use your feet. In quad ball, we have to do everything with a broom between our legs.
So, does the broom have a basket on the end of it?
No, it's just a pipe. They used to, in the olden days, they would play with a cape and a broom with twigs at the end, but no longer. Now it's just a PVC pipe.
So are you swatting the ball? Run us through how a pass would happen in this game.
So there's three different positions. So there's chasers and keepers. Those are basically like basketball players. So it's their job to put the ball into the hoop or stop the other team putting the ball into the hoop. That's pretty simple. A goal scores 10 points. The other position is beaters. If a beater beats somebody with a dodgeball, they have to go back to their own hoops. They have to come off broom, tag into their own hoops for the really big defensive position. So chasers score goals, beaters knock people off the broom with dodgeballs.
What is the conditioning regimen for the sport, given that it combines some really high-powered sports like rugby, basketball, dodgeball, and even elements of tag, I would guess?
Yeah, a little bit. It's it sort of runs like hockey shifts because there's no stoppage in play. So typically, like 5 minutes or so, you'll be out there going pretty hard. So yeah, we train. We do a lot of conditioning. We do a lot of like sprints, like running hills, that sort of thing. The goal is to be able to go 5 minutes pretty hard at a good pace.
Now, before you were a coach, you were also a player, and word has it that there was no position on the field or the pitch, if you will, that you could play, that you played everything. What was your go-to position? Why'd you like it?
When I first started playing, I was initially drawn to chasing because I played football in high school, so chasers get to do a lot of tackling, but that sounded like fun. And then I got to play a lot of seeker too. So seekers catch the snitch. That's what Harry Potter did. So I thought it'd be neat if I could do some of that myself too.
What does the snitch look like in this game?
So the snitch is it's a big person, like an offensive lineman type, and they have a pair of shorts on, and on the back of that short is Velcroed. It's sort of like a tennis ball and a sock. So the seeker's job is to try and grab the tennis ball in the sock while the person in the snitch suit tries to fend you off.
So it's kind of like a flag football move.
Yeah, it's kind of like flag football with like an offensive lineman trying to push you away.
Now,
it's a lot like that.
When you moved into the coaching seat, did you want to stop playing? Was there ever a possibility of player coach?
I've always loved playing. So for me, I have always wanted to keep playing. I did recently get to start coaching the team at Case Western University. So that's been a lot of fun. Don't play with them because they're college kids, obviously. But it is fun to just stand on the sideline, too, and help them out.
Now, does that give you a pipeline to future prospects?
It does, yeah. So we have a lot of new players this year on the Cleveland Riff. We have probably a half dozen or so from Case Western, so it's a good start. We looked at college pipeline.
Now, have you put yourself back in a game with the Cleveland Riff, or are you strictly on the sidelines?
We did do, there was an unofficial tournament that I got to go in for a bit, but for the most part, I'm just on the sideline.
What does it mean to be a coach in this sport? What exactly do you coach?
So there's a mix of pretty much all the things coaches typically do. So I have to run shifts because it's like hockey shifts. So I have to make sure that people are going in, coming out of the game. I got to motivate people, and I got to, with my assistant coaches, we got to set the strategy and the tactics that we're going to use to try and beat the other teams. So there's a lot of, like, there's different positions, different balls. There's four different balls on the pitch at a time. So there's a whole lot of complicated things we got to work out.
Now, you guys play your home games at Cleveland State University, even though you have a tie to Case Western Reserve University. What's the atmosphere like when folks come to Krenzler Field to see a game?
It's really fun. So even just the venue, like the Cleveland skyline is in the background. It's really neat. But it's really fun. Like, we have people in the stands, people are cheering. It's a really high intensity atmosphere when we play another team. Yeah, it's super fun.
Do people come dressed up in Harry Potter costumes?
Not so much of that anymore. No.
How is the team doing?
So we play our first series this weekend at Charlotte. So we're looking forward to that. The team is looking pretty good so far. So I think we're going to make waves this year. We're really looking forward to a big year.
Who stands out as a premier player or two on the team?
I have to shout out Joseph Lombardi. Last year he led the league in goals. So he's sort of our star player. And then this year we're getting, from Case Western University, we're getting Titus Chan, who's on the junior Team USA. So he's a pretty big deal too.
So how can people follow the team? Is there a website?
We are on Instagram. You can look up Cleveland Riff. You can also look up ML Quadball on Instagram. And then on the Major League Quadball page, 2:30 this Saturday, our games will be live streamed against Charlotte.
And who announces the game? I can't wait to hear this.
It's typically someone local. So this week, playing in Charlotte, it'll be somebody from Charlotte, but they'll have some neat tidbits and such on the commentary. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So do they do it straight, like a normal athletic call, or is there some weird voice that goes with the sport?
Each has their own, they all have their own voice, but typically it's like a normal athletic call. Yeah.
All right.
If you watch a football game or soccer game, anything like that.
Well, I'm excited to come up to Cleveland and watch a home game. Jack Mosley's the head coach of the Cleveland Riff. They're our Major League Quadball franchise in Cleveland. We want to thank you for being with us. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other end of the pitch on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan.
Summer.
Latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray. The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
It's time once again for the Great Buckeye Challenge, happening next Sunday, July 19th in Springfield. Joining us now on Ohio Sports Magazine is Craig Thompson, the owner of HFP Racing, which is hosting the event. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing great, Craig. How long has the challenge been in existence, and how has it evolved over the years?
So the Great Buckeye Challenge has been around probably over 10 years, and it originally started out at Buckeye Lake State Park, and then it was Caesar Creek, and then we finally ended at Buck Creek State Park, its current home. And Buck Creek State Park, it's, I don't know if you've been there or not, but it's just, it's a beautiful state park located in Springfield, Ohio. Has a clean reservoir. It's a very scenic bike course. Has a paved run course around the Buck Creek Dam. So it's just a great atmosphere and a great venue to host the Great Buckeye Challenge.
There are three distinct formats: the triathlon, the duathlon, and the aqua bike. Walk us through what each one entails.
Certainly. So the triathlon is swim, bike, and run. The duathlon is run, bike, run, and then aqua bike is simply swim plus bike. But more importantly, there are three distances that everyone or someone could choose from. There's what we call the super sprint, which is by far one of the most popular, which is a 250-yard swim in 4 to 5 feet of water, 8-mile bike, and then a 2-mile run. And that is by far the most popular, just only because you don't need to have, extensive background in the sport. It's a great entry level into the sport of triathlon. And then the next distance are the sprint distance, and then we have the Olympic distance for those who prefer to go a little bit longer. But and for those who may not have a swim background or don't want to swim, that's where the duathlon comes into play. You can do the run, bike, run. There's options for everyone and anyone, regardless of fitness level, experience, or appetite, I guess you could say.
Now, we talked about Buck Creek State Park. That's a lot of words. Buck Creek State Park being the ideal venue for an event like this because of the purity of the water. But anytime you introduce swimming into a sporting event, there are inherent risks. What safety measures are in place for the swimmers at this event?
Great question. Appreciate the question. So a couple things that we do. First of all, our event is sanctioned by USA Triathlon, and they are the governing body over the sport. They're the national organization that, handles the sport from an Olympic standpoint. So there are certain standards when it comes to safety that we're required to follow. So from a water perspective, first of all, you kind of touched on it. It's, what is the purity and cleanliness of the water? So ODNR does a great job of monitoring, the quality of the water. So, first of all, the quality of the water is good. We monitor that, make sure it's safe to swim for all athletes or for all people. Secondly, we have a design course. And so when athletes are swimming, there are buoys and different things out there that they can visually sight on to help them navigate through the course. Then, of course, we have a strong kayak and water safety support team that's out there to support any athlete, make sure they stay on course, but also if they need to stop and rest, take a break, they can hold on to a paddleboard or a kayaker and just take a break. And then, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the water is within the beach, or the swim is within the beach zone of the park. And so the water depth is typically around 4 to 5 feet deep. So most athletes can just stop and stand up if they need to.
All right. So when it comes to entrant preparation and training for an event like this, do they go to Buck Creek State Park and practice, or is there something else that they do to get ready?
Well, actually, they can really go anywhere to practice. From a biking perspective, they can bike, go out to their local trail and bike on the bike path. They could bike on the road wherever they're located. You can bike directly from your home. The same with running. Swimming's typically a little more difficult. You have to find most athletes will swim in a pool, and then maybe a week or two before the event, they'll get out into the open water. They'll swim at their local state park and swim safely in the swim zone areas designated by the parks. Buck Creek would be it's a great training venue to go out. I would actually encourage any athlete who's looking to do Buck Creek or the Great Buckeye Challenge at Buck Creek for their first race to maybe go out and just experience the swim, experience the run course, and the bike course. Just knowing that the bike course is open to traffic when if they're going to go out and train.
How much does it cost to enter the event?
Well, it depends upon the distance. So, obviously, if you register early, it's cheaper. So you're looking at anywhere from $75 for the lowest entry up to $125 for the longer distance. So I would encourage everyone to sign up early for the event and, have fun and enjoy themselves.
What's a good website for them to go to sign up and learn more?
HFPRacing.com. So it's H Henry Frank Paul Racing.com. You can see not only the Great Buckeye Challenge, but our other events that are upcoming. Here's something real interesting, Jay, I want to mention. The day before the Great Buckeye Challenge, we actually have an open water swim clinic that's taking place at Buck Creek. So if you're looking to improve your open water swim, or if it's going to be your first open water swim at the Great Buckeye Challenge, come out on that Saturday. There's a clinic, there's coaches there that will be giving you instructions and giving you tips and so forth, how to not only open water swim, but just to improve your swim overall.
What a great idea. We want to thank our friend Craig Thompson from HFP Racing for being with us. We will see you at the Great Buckeye Challenge next Sunday, the 19th of July in Springfield. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine just a swim's length away on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Hey man, stop flipping the channels.
Sorry, I've never seen so many stations.
Hello?
How the ride?
Oh, it's sweet. I got all the bells and whistles. Satellite radio.
Hey, I was listening to that.
Navigation system.
Yo, you just missed the stop sign.
Hold on, I just got a text. I'll put you on speaker. Two DVD players. Wait, hey man, how do you spell?
Look out!
Near train tracks, stay focused. Stay alive. Brought to you by Operation Lifesaver. www.oli.org.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal, regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
This is Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel. If you're driving and take a quick glance at your phone, more can happen than you might think. Because taking your eyes off the road for even just a moment is like driving the entire length of a football field blind. Don't let those few seconds distract you from what's right in front of you. Phones down, eyes up, Ohio.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Joining us this morning on Ohio Sports Magazine is Franklin, Ohio native Luke Kennard and his dad. Luke is a shooting guard now with the Phoenix Suns, who's known for his elite three-point shooting accuracy. And today, he and his dad join us to talk about their elite basketball camps that they host here in Ohio for 4th through 8th graders, along with one special game, all of that happening in Miamisburg next week. What started the Luke Kennard Elite Basketball Camp?
Honestly, just after my rookie year in the NBA, we just started having some conversations, me, my family, some family friends, my old high school coach, and just ways that I could give back to the community, to the people that have always supported me just growing up and still do to this day. And we came up with this idea, like I said, after my rookie year, and it was just a huge success, and we obviously have continued that, and we love to do it, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you remember being a 4th through 8th grader and discovering your love for basketball?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, even before that, but I think right around that age is, you know, when I really got even more excited about basketball. And, you know, you start learning more and going to camps and just having fun with it, especially in the summer with all your friends. I mean, it's some of the best memories that you can make. And for me to just be able to do this for kids, like, especially around that age, it means a lot to not only myself, but my family and the community where I grew up. And we got kids from all over the place, but a lot of local kids, which is great too. And I enjoy doing it.
Now, this is a family affair with your dad, Mark, who's also on the call. And Mark, you do double duty as both basketball coordinator and babysitter. How does that work?
Well, it's a lot of fun. Let me just say that it's the basketball part of it. I've always enjoyed it. I still enjoy, you know, when Luke went to college, I kind of went into depression for about 3 months. I'd tell my wife that because, you know, I enjoyed being around him, being the rebounder for him. And then now the camp, you know, I helped organize that. And then obviously with Luke's son, you know, we enjoy being the babysitter also. So we just try to combine all of them together.
What was the connection that the family had to children with special needs?
Luke's always had a heart for kids. I mean, in high school, I think that's why everybody around here really loves him, because he connected with their children. And we had a friend that is a pastor of Baraka Church named Lamar Farrell, who has a special needs daughter. And we just got to discussing it, and we just thought it'd be neat to bring some focus on the special needs community. You know, the special needs community, they're one of the most forgotten people in the world. And this brings attention to them. It gives them a sense of being part of a team. It gives them a sense of community. It gives them life-changing attention. And we, you know, the game is one of the highlights of the camp. Now, and it's been a big success.
Not everyone who attends the camp has special needs. So what do the other children do when you have the one special game for the special needs kids? How are they involved?
They're the audience. Like we surround the court with the campers. And it's like a big event. And not only do obviously the kids and young adults with special needs, like, they look forward to this every single year, but the campers do too. Like the kids that are there for the entire weekend, like, they look forward to it. They talk about it. Like, they're the biggest hype people around the gym when it happens. And, you know, kind of like my dad said, it puts a spotlight on, you know, these kids and young adults that, you know, have special needs. And, you know, it's something that we're grateful for, that we're able to do. And and like I said, the other campers, they're just excited as them, and they're the biggest hype guys around. And it's a lot of fun. It really is like a special game. That's why we named it that. And it's really great.
Is it designed to teach those 4th through 8th graders empathy for folks that may not be like them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it kind of just shows, like, you know, how grateful we are, and you know, everybody deserves, you know, attention, and everybody deserves you know, an opportunity to have that spotlight on them. Obviously, you know, the campers, they're there all weekend, and I'm watching them play their games and connecting with them. But when we do have this this game, it kind of gives the campers an opportunity to give back to these people that have special needs. And you know, it really is a special moment for me to just sit back and watch the campers and how they interact and how they cheer them on. And it really is a special time.
Now, Luke, you've got your dad and your child nearby at the same time. Does that mean a third generation of basketballer is in the offing?
I hope so. I'm trying. He loves anything that has a ball. He loves a hoop. And yeah, he's going to be around all weekend during the camp. And I know he was there last year, and the campers loved having him around. And it's really exciting to have him be involved. And yeah, he's going to be a little baller. I think so.
All right. This particular event is happening July 17th through 19th. That's next week at a place called Camp Chautauqua, which is in Miamisburg, Ohio, nearby Franklin, where you guys grew up. Is there a cost for the event?
The camp itself is $275. It sold out in 9 minutes. It's a 3-day, 2-night camp. And obviously we feed them and all that stuff. But Luke, the thing that makes this camp is Luke is there every day, all day. And the campers absolutely love that. You know, you don't see a pro athlete that stays at camp, at their camps that often. And Luke's there the whole day, every day. And it's a great camp. It's you know, it sells out in about 10 minutes every year. And we have a waiting list of about 200.
Luke, do you wear a whistle?
I don't, but I should.
You need to. I want a picture of you wearing a whistle. All right. We want to thank Luke Kennard and his father for being with us on Ohio Sports Magazine. And there's more on the other end of the court when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
You've got a beautiful Sunday forecast on your hands today. Highs sticking around the mid-80s, around 85 degrees topping off. Staying mostly dry today with sunny conditions pretty much all over central Ohio. Later this afternoon, we are watching for a chance of seeing an isolated shower or two, mainly in our southern counties. This will not be a major washout at any means. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
This is ONN.
The biggest college football conferences are holding their annual media days at different sites around the country over the next 4 weeks. Ryan Day, Ohio State, and the Big Ten will congregate in Chicago at the end of July. This past week, the Big 12 conference met in Dallas at the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys. The event was headlined by the announcement the conference had agreed to a unique partnership with Monster Energy to have Monster Energy's logos on their uniforms, on the field, and as a presenting sponsor of conference games. Paul Feinbaum covers college football for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WB. BNS FM in Columbus. Paul doesn't have much confidence in the future of the Big 12 conference.
Where do you see the Big 12 5, 10 years from now?
I think they're borderline extinct. And this week is the reason. I mean, I know you have to grab time when you can, but to try to compete with what is going on right now with the World Cup, and even Wimbledon, and really most people in the country having tuned out, is pretty embarrassing. I always thought the SEC doing it next week, which they're not this year, they're doing it the week after, was too early. I mean, even though I'm plugged into the, like you are, I mean, I've only paid attention to, you know, the idiotic Monster brand and the Sorsby conversation, because other than that, there's just, to me, I know that there's no such thing as bad football, except maybe when the Big 12 has media days.
Their teams are kind of like a poo-poo platter. Nobody up here wants them. Nobody where you are want them. The ACC has some components that I think we'd like up here, and they probably have some components you'd like down there.
Yeah, do you remember, I think it was like 2018, 19, one of those years when Utah was playing a game, had they won, they would have been in the playoffs. And I sat on Get Up one morning sitting in New York near next to Greenberg. I said, nobody wants Utah in the CFP. There's not a single person in America. Mm-hmm. Naturally, everybody went crazy. Joel Klatt tweeted, how can you be so... I was really being serious. The truth of the matter is nobody really... And thank goodness they lost that night, and nobody had to deal with them. It's the same way with the Big 12. Last year was their big moment with Texas Tech, and what a bomb they laid mm-hmm. in that playoff game. And really, the only time they've been relevant since is Sorsby and Cody Campbell. And it's just not, Yormark came in on a white horse, New York media giant. He's kept the league slightly relevant, but that's about it.
Something else is going to have to happen next week. And this conference is based out of the region where you live. You still in Charlotte, or do I have that right?
No,
still,
I finally moved back. Got kicked out. I left.
They kicked you out of North Carolina. That's great. So you're back in God's country. So, but you were there for a long time, and that's the headquarters of that league, and I know that league pretty well. Their event next week is going to have a little bit of a different tone, and I don't know what is smoke and what is nonsense down there. It's hard for me to tell with some of those schools in that conference, but there is a lot of smoke, and again, you can tell me if it's nonsense, that league is going to look really different in the next couple of years, and that I know that there are teams the Big Ten would want. At least one of them is a team that I think the SEC would want in North Carolina. What do you need to hear from the ACC next week to lead you to believe that they have a tangible path forward here?
I think they're already told you something by having it next week. They used to try to compete with the Big Ten and the SEC. They're not doing that now. I want to hear, is Miami real? Is Clemson anything better than the fourth best team in the league? And is there anybody else that's going to be battling? What's really interesting is a year later, nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, cares what Bill Belichick has to say. He really was going to save that league a year ago in terms of media, and that was one of the biggest bombs as well. I still think because of Miami, you have to take this league pretty seriously because they are a contender. I'm just wondering, is anyone else?
And my answer to that probably is going to be no. I want to go back to the North Carolina thing. You bring up a great point. That's all anybody was talking about a year ago. I don't remember all of your views on it, but I remember mine quite well. And the notion that somehow they were going to do something revolutionary by treating college football like an NFL, Bobby Bowden was doing that 25 years ago. Like that's been going on forever, and we knew it. You knew it. I knew it. Everybody that covers college football knew it, and they were really naive to all of that. It reminded me a little bit of Urban going to Jacksonville, quite frankly. Like he just did not know the league that he was going to go and participate in, and he fell flat. Did anybody, how were they so off on what his impact would be down there? North Carolina is a damn good school, Paul. They should have people that could have saw this coming. How did they miss this so badly?
Yeah, and by the way, I lived in Charlotte 12 years, so up and down the street were Tar Heels. And when Belichick got there, it really was a big deal. And part of it was just the name. I know, quite frankly, Belichick's become somewhat of a punchline now because mm-hmm. of his girlfriend. But at the time, he was still the greatest coach in NFL history. I don't think that's changed, but it just seemed like a long time ago. So you thought they knew what they were doing. You later found out it was a tug of war. The president, the AD didn't want him. The president did. It was a backdoor deal. You've heard all that. And it just mm-hmm. didn't work because he was not willing to really do anything other than hire Lombardi, who was his former GM, run it like an NFL boot camp. And you just can't put 50 or 60 new players in a system that's not used to winning. And it blew up.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan. Join our degenerate gamblers, D. Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Last year we had
different fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. This is ONN.
There hasn't been a lot of good with the Cincinnati Reds recently, and we're joined now by the host of the Locked On Reds podcast, Jeff Carr. But there was a couple bright spots last week, and last time you and I talked, we talked about the play of Chase Burns and Sal Stewart. Both of them named All-Stars last week. Even in all the bad with the Reds here, that's some great news.
absolutely deserving. I mean, Chase Burns has been in the Cy Young conversation, albeit he has a division rival that's having just an otherworldly season and is most likely to win the award. But Chase Burns deserves mention as we go throughout this season. I mean, he's kept a sub-3 ERA, even after having, you know, a tough start a couple of starts ago. He still keeps an ERA under 3. He does a fantastic job of limiting base on balls while also having a high strikeout rate to boot. He's everything you want in a pitcher, and this is his first full professional season, so we're going to see a little bit of workload management as we go through the rest of this year, but he has been the brightest spot on the team, and for me, he's been far and away the team MVP to this point.
The All-Star break starts after this weekend. We mentioned Sal Stewart and Chase Burns. What are a couple other positives from the first half of the season for the Reds? And then what have been the biggest disappointments?
I have liked to see the breakout, I guess. It's a little bit tough to say because he's on the IL right now, but I've really liked what I've seen from Blake Dunn this year before he hit the IL. This team desperately needed a leadoff hitter. And while I do love that Ellie De La Cruz has now moved in that spot, and I don't think it should be taken away from him whenever Blake Dunn comes off the IL, Blake Dunn has still shown that he can be an outfielder for you for the future because he has a good eye plate, he makes good contact, and he's just otherworldly fast. And then on the defense side of things, he fits the mold. The Reds want to be a pitching and defense team. You must have Blake Dunn on your roster if that is how you're going to build yourself out. And he has shown that to be the case. The other guy, I mean, I've been really happy with Ellie De La Cruz. He's kind of been on a power outage here recently. Ever since he came back from the IL, he has exactly 2 extra base hits, one of them being a homer, the other a double. But he has good exit velocities during that time. So he's making good contact. He's just not finding the luck side of hitting right now. And I think that we're going to see that come back to him because he's still hitting over 270. He still looks like he's the kind of guy that you can trust at the top of your lineup. And so the best overall hitter on this team. And then even kind of mentioning like the Sal Stewart of it all, like he has really emerge. We talked about this past offseason, the Reds needing somebody to come in here and be a cleanup hitter, be a run producer. We thought that was going to be Eugenio Suarez. It's not. But it's been Sal Stewart, and that's a guy that you can hang a hat on moving forward.
How would you assess the job Terry Francona has done so far in year number 2?
I would say it's a little bit disappointing, but it's not because he has made some decisions that we disagree with, because all managers do that. It's simply because he doesn't feel like he is able to transcend what the front office has failed to do. And I sort of felt like that was the selling point with him, is that if you're getting a manager of his caliber, he's going to be a guy that can really sort of fill in the holes and make up for a lack of talent by elevating the guys that he's working with. And I just haven't seen that, because collectively this team has failed in just about every area this season. The lineup is horrible. Pitching's been inconsistent when you look up the starting rotation or the bullpen. And the defense has still seen mistake after mistake. This team there's once every so often that will play a mistake-free game of baseball. But for the most part, there's lots of mistakes they have to work around, and they just don't have the talent to really overcome those mistakes. And Terry Francona, while I don't think that he's a big part of the problem, he's also not a big part of the solution, which has led to my disappointment, because honestly, I felt like I said the same thing about David Bell, where I didn't necessarily think that letting go of David Bell was going to fix all of your problems, because he was the problem, but I knew he wasn't part of the solution either. And so I think more than anything with this experience, Ryan, I kind of feel like we have just shown why the roster is so, so important to get right before you ever worry about who's the guy in the managerial seat.
Well, I guess the one thing you can hope and hang your hat on is that at the All-Star break, maybe they can refresh, recharge, and maybe we can have a second half run here from the Cincinnati Reds. If you want the latest on the Reds, the Locked On Reds podcast is where you need to go. Jeff Carr, one of the hosts of that podcast, thank you so much for your time.
Ryan, appreciate you. Go Reds.
More Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Kyle Bogan, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value and have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you're being treated by the very best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
Hey, I'm Ruben. My band and I have a new song we're getting ready to record this weekend. I'm also a tow truck driver. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I get to go home at the end of the day and see my bandmates.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys discuss the Cavaliers and how important it is now that the Cavs sign LeBron.
It's getting late early. You need to land LeBron James. You need to put him into this lineup. And if LeBron is interested in still consistently going out there and compete for a championship, you ask the question, will he take the minimum? Not only should he play, do the minimum, he should do the Price is Right. $1. Get $1. Give me $1 and go get me some more people on top of that, because they're going to need it in the East. This East turned around. The ebbs and flows come. And you look at it, what happened with the West. But look at the East, though. The East is looking very stacked now. And the champs and the Knicks are at the top of the pecking order. They're the team to beat still to me. But if the Cavs want to still keep in tow with that, they got to land LeBron. Got to.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
This.
Lapidic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Luke Kennard, Craig Thompson, and Jack Mosley for being our guests on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine, and we thank you for listening. For Colin Berringer, Eric Reeser, and Ryan Baker, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.